From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of July 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later in the program, Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain market. We'll talk about the weather forecast with meteorologist Peter Levitt as we close out our program today. And along the way, we'll hear from Lisa Braltz with this week's edition of In My Backyard. And it all happens during this Thursday Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or if you can't hear us there after the fact, try dialing this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's updated at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day with some of the numbers from the CME Group in Chicago and a bit of analysis.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Here's the way the settlement prices, actually the closing prices from the CME Group in Chicago, came in. There are settlements for the soft red winter wheat. It had finished at $8.84, down 19 and a quarter. December contract at $8.97 and a quarter in Chicago, finished 17 and three quarters lower. The hard red in Kansas City at $8.93, down 11 cents. September corn futures, $7.80, down 14 and a half on the day. December at $7.74, down 14. March corn at $7.73, 9.5 lower in the May, $7.67, 9.5 lower. July at $7.62.5, down a nickel. September, $6.61.5, 3.5 lower. August soybeans at $16.54, down 40 and a quarter. September at $15.95, down 45.5. And November beans, $15.68, 47.5 lower. January at $15.79, down 19.5 of the March contract, $14.57 in the bean pit, down 17 and a quarter on the afternoon. May futures at 13.83 and three quarters, down 30 and a quarter. July at 13.71 and a quarter, 31 and three quarters lower. And next year's November at $12.42 and three quarters a bushel, down 26 and a half in the soybean pit. Bean meal futures at 5.18.50, down 11.30. And the bean oil at 51.68, that finished 56 cents lower. Live cattle futures, October contract at 123.17 and a half, up 25. September feeders at 138.82 and a half, up $1.45. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil for the day, September contract, $89.46 a barrel, up 49 cents. Ethanol at 254 and 4 tenths, that's 3 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.09 and 3 tenths, up 2 and 3 tenths. And the heating oil for the day, $2.86 and 8 tenths of a cent, up 2 and 4 tenths. Gold futures at $1,615. $7 higher on the dollar at 82.80. That's down 0.72. The CRB index now at 297.29 is up 0.05. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon says we'll see scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Should be partly sunny, a high of 90 degrees this afternoon. And then this evening, partly cloudy, a low of 68 on a west wind at 3 to 8. Mostly sunny tomorrow, a high of 90 degrees with a west wind at 6 to 14. That one will gust all the way to 21 for the afternoon. And then Saturday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 87 degrees on a north wind at about 6 miles per hour. As we look forward to Sunday, mostly sunny and 87. Sunday evening, mostly cloudy and 69. A chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high of 88 on Monday. And Monday evening, partly cloudy and a low of 71. Tuesday, sunny skies and 90 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and 70. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 90 degrees. A couple of things to mention next week. A few of our analysts, including Chuck Shelby and Matt Bennett, along with Chip Nellinger, on Thursday will be at Berkey's Field Day north of Villa Grove. Stop by and see them if you'd like. I'll be out of the office next week. Dave will be back in the saddle. I'm going to take a couple of weeks off and spend some time at home. So I hope to enjoy that. Hopefully you will be able to run out to the Berkey's Ride and Drive Field Day there at Villa Grove and see some of our analysts. Thanks to them in advance for taking care of WILL's business there.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line for a Thursday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report to take a look at the agricultural futures is Dan Swicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Dan, you still loving it down there?
Sure am. It's actually cooler down here than it is up there.
I don't know that that'd be...
But it does sound like your forecast, you're going to have to put a sweater on after being at 105 for several days.
Yeah, we get down to 80 or 71 degrees in the evening. It gets pretty cool up
here. That's going to be chilly.
The corn will like it. I guarantee the corn will like it. And the corn must like it.
Will it make any difference, I guess?
Yeah. Oh, I doubt that it'll make a whole lot of difference. Not without any rainfall, anyway. It won't make much difference. We've got baked corn here at this time, I guess. In Chicago, though, they don't believe it, or at least they think it's gone high enough and killed off demand. I don't know. What do you think's been happening there?
Well, I think if you look at the future, what's going to happen here in the next week or two, there's probably a little reason to be long the market. I mean, the trade has been, you know, working this hot and dry pattern and making some severe downward adjustments in production expectations, anywhere from 120 to 135, I suppose, on this corn, and there's getting to be more and more in the 120s. The beans, there's a lot of talk about the mid-30s, maybe even low 30s possibility if rains don't materialize here pretty soon. And few expect USDA to probably come in that low. I think for the most part, the trade expects USDA to be higher. And the question is, if USDA is going to be higher than what the trade has been working over the past two, 3 weeks, why would you want to carry a long position going into that report? And I think that might be one of the major hurdles you're seeing in this marketplace right now. The other thing is as I mentioned last week, you know, anytime a market begins to be talked about on the front page and national TV news and radio news, you always get a little leery that all the bullishness is priced into the market. And now this week you saw, I think, the finishing touches on all of the characteristics of a top. It doesn't necessarily mean you have one, but now you're getting into the volatility where you're sharply lower, then sharply higher, and then back sharply lower. And now this may go on for a while, but those are not necessarily signs of a market that's going to go higher. And the thing that we got to keep in mind is that maybe downward adjustments in production is not going to take this market higher. There could be other factors involved, such as revising the renewable fuels mandate, maybe revising some other government type tweaks, and maybe a plain deflationary type economy. I would not rule out an inflationary spiral yet. Not only in the United States, but worldwide. Our politicians can't come to grips with anything. So there could be other factors involved in a market that's maybe topping that's not even evident yet.
Do your contacts in Washington, D.C. say that what's been bantered about there is nothing more than banter as opposed to something that might really take place as it relates to the ethanol mandate? Of course, USDA could ask, or even US EPA, which is the authority here, could simply say, we think that this is causing economic harm and open it up for comment period at least.
Well, I don't know want to say anything about sources in Washington, but I think a president of a major grain company was talking today, and I think he acknowledged the fact that changes in the renewable fuels mandate may end up coming about. It's just political reality. You can talk about all the rule hurdles and all of this business that you want to, but if they decide to do that, the market's going to react like we got 3 inches of rain in July. So, you still have to worry about political involvement. For those of us that lived through political involvement of the 70s, don't trust Washington a bit. I mean, the fact that they're denying anything almost tells you that they're working on something. I mean, anybody knows anything about politicians. So that makes you a little nervous, and I think the market's a little nervous on that. And you can see the weekly export sales, especially on corn, were very weak with current day prices. I don't know of a livestock producer that can make any money at current day prices. So, you know, we're starting to slow demand. The question is how small a crop is it, and how much demand do we need to take out of the balance sheets over the long run?
Let's stay with corn just a bit before we turn your attention to the soybean market, which has some different fundamentals in it. Inside the corn market, when you look at the cycles, are they telling you a similar story? I know you talked about the wild swings. It could be a top, but not necessarily the case. What really do you see in the cycles at this point that give you either hope or make you more bearish the marketplace?
Well, I think we start off with, I do think the market is in a window here for a five-year cycle high. This is one of the reasons why, if you remember back at the beef house, I was bullish on corn acres, so we'd have a lot of corn acres, but I would not necessarily say the prices were going lower. And what I was looking at was a five-year cycle moving higher. So I do think whatever high we do put in the marketplace over the next month or two, or maybe it's already been in, will be a high that we will look at for a couple years as we come down into 13, 14, 15, probably really for some kind of cycle low. In the short run, one could probably argue that we might be due for a small cycle low in here this week or early next week. On corn, soybeans, and wheat, and then that could maybe generate some kind of rally here as we go on into August, and that will probably be, you know, hinged upon what kind of rain totals we get out of this current system that's supposed to be marching east and south over the next day or two, and then what the weather forecast, you know, looks like next week. So, but a lot of this is still kind of end of the month. Long liquidation. You got to keep in mind the markets are commission driven. The Chicago is printing revenues with this decline because you had a lot of buying coming into the market during the month of July. So Chicago is smiling. The commission houses are bringing in some revenue here as we finish out the month of July, I think Monday. So once we get that out of the way, then sometimes the market will regroup, and then they'll try to maybe put people back into the market so they can turn commissions again. That's something to kind of be watchful for as we look at the market over the next few days.
Does the on soybeans now, does the export market appear to be really healthy for soybeans in the United States still?
Oh, I think for old crop soybeans and even new crop soybeans, the supply and demand tables are just absolutely, there isn't anything there. I mean, we do have a lot of commitments, export commitments on the books here for August, September delivery. And I'm not too sure all of the exporters are covered yet on cash soybeans. And then you can see even new crop export sales are very strong. So that sharp sell-off or that sharp fall-off in South American production last spring is going to keep soybean prices at least fairly stout, cash markets anyway, for some time. And the function of the soybean market will be to try to encourage as many South American acres as it can, and it'll worry about those acres until they feel more comfortable with that production, and that may not be till Christmas or next January.
Another leg up in the beans, or is this outside week down that's setting up at the moment something that should be care taken with more than just a grain of salt?
Well, like I said, anytime a market becomes volatile after a current run, those are usually not good signs of the market continuing higher without a little deeper correction than what we got. And then once you get the correction, then you begin to wonder, you know, oh, my God, did I miss it? Or, you know, are we going to come back or not? And I wish I could give you a good answer on that. Fundamentally, the market still looks very bullish when you take into account what you think the acres are going to be. But as we all know, and I think the beans are showing that the weakness probably a little more so than corn, and that is because rains can actually help the bean crop, or the trade believes it can help the bean crop, where I think the trade is pretty much given up on the corn. The corn crop is what it is, and only thing we need to finalize there is the actual size of it. And I'm not too sure that the trade will feel comfortable with any kind of production number until they actually begin to hear harvested yield amounts coming across the scales, because nobody has any faith in the USDA having their arms around this here, especially on the August report. Now, maybe as time goes on, I think as you go into September and October, maybe the confidence of USDA coming up with a solid number, may increase. But I think for the time being, they're looking for USDA to come in with a high number, or at least something higher than what the trade's looking at. And I guess the question is why be long going into that report?
We appreciate your time. It was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Very well. I'm looking forward to you guys coming down here in a couple weeks. Looking on the calendar, it's closing in on you.
It's closing in. I'm going to take a couple weeks vacation. I'll talk to you not long before I head your way. So we'll see you, okay?
Thanks. Well, it'll be cool. Maybe it'll be cooler down here then.
Oh, it could be. It'll probably be really hot there and cool here. We'll see how it goes. Hey, thanks, Dan.
Okay, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana, and correct that we're going to follow the corn, probably follow the beans more than the corn. Make a trip down there on the 20th of August. That's all coming up and all part of the service at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, it's a Thursday afternoon, and Lisa Braltz is here with her In My Backyard segment.
Like all farmers ride tractors, or all farmers live in the country and are isolated from what goes on in the real world. Or all farmers are men. In much of the world, women are the primary food producers. In poor countries, 70 to 90% of all food is produced by women. In the United States, 1 million women identify as farmers. That's 30% of the total number of farmers, and that number is growing every year. While tending small organic operations is certainly not the domain solely of women who farm, it seems that a lot of women getting into farming choose that method, like Lisa Haynes. The first time I saw Lisa was at a farmer's market. Only she wasn't a farmer at the time. She was working for another organic farmer for some extra cash while she was in school, studying to be a nuclear engineer. She now owns and operates Tomanu's Farm in Mahomet, Illinois, and sells what she grows at farmers markets through her community-supported agriculture shares and a little to retail and wholesale customers.
We do a lot of small amounts of livestock. We do broiler chickens and heritage turkeys. We do goats and goat milk, and I guess we usually do pastured veal. We've got lamb. We do a wide range of grain crops. We've got, you know, your corn and soybeans, tofu, soybeans, wheat, barley, oats, peas. All of our ground right now is either certified organic or going into transition.
It's Lisa's farm, but Tomanu's is a family operation. Her husband, who works off the farm, and teenage son, who goes to high school, contribute by fixing machinery, working with livestock, and other on-farm tasks.
When Maxwell, our youngest, was really young, he was homeschooled, so the farming fit in really well because there are so many learning opportunities on the farm. I think that he's really learned the value of hard work. He knows how to work really hard. It's kind of interesting to me. I'm always surprised at the knowledge he has about the farm. He'll just, you know, we had a calf that was a little sick a few weeks ago, and he said, oh, you need to get electrolytes for that. I mean, he knows little things like a calf scouring, you got to go get electrolyte for it.
In addition to teaching the occasional class at Parkland College, being involved with the Farm Bureau, and writing grants that permit her to do studies on her farm, Lisa has other outside interests.
We try to do a lot outside the farm. It's hard because it does take up a lot of time, but we used to race motorcycles a lot. My husband's getting back into it. I'm thinking about getting back into it, but I had an injury several years back, so I'm a little nervous about wrecking my farm season. I did just run the Illinois Marathon. People kind of asked why I would be running because I work so hard, and I say, I don't know. You know, farm work's not that aerobic. I need to do it.
But eventually, everything comes back to the farm.
I have sort of fleeting ideas like, oh, how cool would it be to grow tilapia? But it's not going to happen. I think I'm doing what I want, really. I just want to do it better. And that's a consistent goal, is to get better at it, make better decisions.
This is Lisa Braltz for In My Backyard.
Our thanks to Lisa Braltz for her production of In My Backyard.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
Well, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is willag.org. Find us online at willag.org. By about 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, we'll post Commodity Week there. Our guest will be Dan Bossi of Ag Resource Company out of Chicago, Illinois. And one of our panelists is on the phone line now to take out the cash grain market. Matt Bennett will be in studio with us. Matt, thanks for doing that, and thanks for being with us, and thanks for making the trip out to Berkey's next Thursday for their Ride and Drive Field Day on behalf of the radio station. You do a lot of volunteer work for us, and we do appreciate that. What's the cash basis like today there in Windsor, Illinois?
Well, the basis has been staying about where it was here for the last 10 days or so. So, you know, we really haven't seen a whole lot of movement in that. There are some specific processors, I guess, that are hunting down corn, especially corn, old corn, where they don't have to worry about an aflatoxin situation, and they're trying to source it out farther than just, you know, the next couple, 3 weeks. So that's kind of an interesting situation that's popping up for us right now.
Yeah, in fact, when you take a look at that, there will be an awful lot of corn that's in not very good condition. And producers, whether they're using, end users, whether they're using it to grind for ethanol or to feed a livestock, will have to deal with that. And, of course, you'll have to deal with it at the elevator, too.
Yeah, there's no question. It's a it's a pretty significant situation for us. And, you know, we got to decide what's the best way for us to to test, and I think we're going to be looking at a lot of the early loads, and if we see a high situation of aflatoxin and some of the other toxins, I mean, there's no question that we're going to have to probably test all fall long. Now, I guess what we're really hoping is that we don't see much incidents right off the bat, but I mean, this has been a year that's ripe for, you know, the production of aflatoxin, so I don't know, it's going to be a pretty interesting fall.
Just a few seconds left. Are you still bullish corn and soybeans, or have high prices cured?
I don't know that I'm bullish corn and soybeans, but I do think that it's going to be tough for us to find a top until we know just exactly how bad the crop is.
All right. Thanks so much. Your bids for the day?
Bids for the day, cash corn 806, fall would be 781, and cash beans 1686, and fall 1555.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. You can hear him again online at willag.org. In just a couple of minutes, I'll be back. We'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levin.
It's National Coffee Milkshake Day. It's also St. Anne Day, patron of brewmakers. On this day in agricultural history in 1775, Benjamin Franklin became Postmaster General of the United States. In 1799, Isaac Babbitt was born, an American inventor. He created an alloy made of tin, antimony, and copper widely used for friction-reducing bearings. In 1924, he founded a company that became Reed & Barton, the nation's oldest independent silversmiths. In 1866, Beatrix Potter was born, an English author of children's books. Her first and most famous story is The Tale of Peter Rabbit. In 1926, Joseph Engelberger was born. An American engineer, he, along with George Duvall, developed the first industrial robot in the United States. Engelberger is often called the father of robotics, and by 1962, his company, Unimation, installed industrial robots at General Motors. And in 2004, William Mitchell died, an American food scientist. He invented a tapioca substitute during World War II because tapioca was in limited supply. But he is even better known for creating a number of products during a 35-year career with General Foods, including Pop Rocks Candy, Cool Whip, Quick Set Jell-O, and Tang. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Pete Lavitt, agricultural meteorologist on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been hot, been dry, and it's really hot again today. It looks like there's some relief in at least the highest temperatures, but not a lot of relief in the way of rainfall in our area, I think.
No, that's true. There is a front, as a matter of fact, getting organized now with some showers along a line from about 50 miles northwest of Chicago, southwestward, and towards, put it around Quincy, Illinois, thereabouts. And along these front, you'll get some showers coming through in central and eastern portions of Illinois this afternoon and this evening. But they're just going to be scattered activity, maybe a few brief, sharp thunderstorms, but the coverage won't be good. Then this front will move on eastward into Indiana and Ohio tonight and tomorrow, produce some showers there. Meanwhile, it dries out again back in Illinois. The next system comes along from Iowa around Saturday night and Sunday, gets into Illinois again. This one looks like it has a little better prospect for rain, mostly in the western half of the state. That'll move out as we move into the early part of next week, and we're back to dry. So the general pattern is we have a flow from northwest to southeast that's persistent. This flow maintains cool air to the north and east and warm and hot air to the south and west, and the boundary line, the frontal system, keeps wiggling back and forth across the Midwest from northeast back down toward the south and back up the warm front, and this just keeps bouncing forth during the so that we will get opportunities for getting showers and thunderstorms, but we won't see anything that's going to produce heavy enough activity to relieve the drought. I'm looking for about maybe 50% coverage of quarter to half inch amounts for the week, which isn't really good enough to halt the decline in moisture. So the moisture decline will continue. The heat will come back not as fiercely as we've seen it, but it'll be back and forth as this front wiggles back and forth. So I think we'll see temperatures averaging near or slightly above normal for the week, maybe heating up a little bit later in the week. And the outlook for next week isn't for much better-looking weather, maybe even drier weather again next week. So we don't see any real substantial relief to this droughty pattern across all of the Midwest.
Persistence sometimes can be a pretty tough thing, especially when you have hot and dry weather, I suppose. Do you see it changing in August?
Well, there is always been conventional wisdom calls for a change in a persistent July pattern moving into August. We don't see that. At least not this year. We'll see it gradually turn to cool weather, only because we're going to be getting progressively less sunshine during August. But the hot pattern, I think, is going to continue well into August, and the dry pattern is the pattern I'm most concerned about, and that's going to continue further along. Of course, as we said before, most of the damage to corn has been done. You can do additional damage to corn, of course, if things don't improve or at least some moisture is maintained. Soybeans get their stake in this dry pattern in August. They're an August plant, and it's the weather this coming month that's going to have the biggest impact on soybean yield.
Thank you so much. And that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.